Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Do you think twice before you get your dick wet now?
Oh God, you have no idea. I have full-on panic attacks. Like, I'm like, you still want to have sex with me? I'm having a panic attack.
Welcome to Burning Hell.
What is up, guys? We are on another episode in the fiery, scary depths of hell. And I have a sexy man today named Blake Horstman. A lot of people wanted him on, and I did watch his season of The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, so my little fangirl's going off. Blake, welcome to hell. The little devils say hello. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thanks for having me in hell. This will be a lot of fun.
I'm excited. We met on a Valentine's Day podcast that went... crazy. It was wild.
It did. It
was
get dirty. A little weird.
And I didn't know what you'd be like in person, but you were very easy to talk to, very good listener, which I love, you know, because I'm just talking the whole time. And I'm very interested in talking to a guy who has like been in Bachelor Nation, and like, how has your idea, oh, we're getting into it, how has your idea of love changed, the Blake before Bachelor to now? Let's get into it.
Ooh. We're getting deep right off the bat. I love it. Okay. Honestly, it's hard for me. So I've always been a romantic. Like, I am like a self-proclaimed, like, I love like rom-coms. Like, I do love love. I love love and I love hard. I think the biggest thing that I got out of The Bachelorette. So I have this thing where my gut instinct is just like always right. And I hate it. Like, it's a blessing, but it's more than anything, like, it's a curse, you know, because I feel like I know when something's not going to work out. I know when something's happening. And so on the show, on The Bachelorette, I had that gut feeling come about like the last week. So it was when I met her family. Her family was fantastic. Becca Kufrin was my Bachelorette. Her family was fantastic. It was phenomenal. But I could tell, you know, I could like feel something different in the air. And there was like a moment where anytime we'd be off camera, like, she'd come run and jump in my arms and make out, you know, that whole thing. And there was a moment where she came around a corner in the Maldives. I came around another corner. And she put her head down and walked away. And I was like, uh-oh, like rut-row, you know? So I had that feeling.
Rut-row.
Yeah, rut-row. So that was a moment for me. That was a huge moment. But something that I did then that now I do in every relationship, and I wish, you know, in the past, maybe I would have done this before the show, is most old Blake would have like thrown in the towel. Old Blake would have been like, it's over. My gut is telling me, blah, blah, blah. It's over. I'm just going to give up. But I didn't. And I kept fighting for it. And then, you know, we had one more date after that and it went fantastic. And I had a lot of, my gut ended up being right, but I had a lot of confidence going into the proposal.
Yeah, because you could trick your gut if you want. You could be
exactly.
Like, okay,
and
God,
I did.
Shut the
I
fuck
did.
Up.
Yeah, I did. I tricked it good. And it hurt. It hurt real bad. But I think now, I guess I go into relationships with a little bit more, like, I don't give up as easy.
Are you a competitive guy inherently?
Yeah, I am.
Were you ever afraid that the competitiveness of like, just like the one girl was ever playing with your mind versus like you actually liking her or loving
her?
Yeah,
that was like a huge fear of mine. And I think most guys and even women probably, they'd say that was definitely in the back of their mind. And so for me, I had the first date of the season. So I had a connection with her, with Becca, super early.
How tall are you?
I'm about 6'3", roughly.
Yeah, that's why you got first date. Okay, continue. I'm just kidding.
I forgot you and the height thing. I remember now from the Valentine's podcast.
You were like, I feel just like used and abused.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like all I have to do is be tall, and that's why women like me. Like, they don't like me for me.
So, I like that. Turn that on, maybe. Like.
But yeah, so I got the first date because I was 6'3". I got the first date, and I had an early connection. And I remember like about week 3 or 4, you get to a point in your head where you're like, do I just like this woman because of the environment, because of the bubble, because of these incredible dates? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was this moment where it changed for me. And the biggest one was in the Bahamas. And she was like dancing in the sand. We were dancing in the Bahamas. It was like this whole thing. And I was like watching her dance, you know, and I was like, damn, like I'd be into this woman even not in this environment. You know,
are you sure though? Because it still was the Bahamas and like the sand was probably really nice under your feet.
Like, no, okay, okay, it wasn't the environment.
But then how do you go from that shit to normal dating? Like, it must be so annoying to go on dates now after being on The Bachelor, the amount of questions you get. Like, what's the worst fucking part of the aftermath? Oh.
100% dating. It's 100% dating, and it's so hard. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, poor me.
Because people also think they know you as a guy. Yes. And how you are. Like, there's like friend Hannah, and then like how I am when I flirt. And like, if the world knew my tricks, like my one lines, I have like two lines that I use. Like, I'd be fucked.
It's and everybody has a move, you know. But now it's like, if you use it or you do, you know, then like you're like a player, you're a fuckboy or whatever. I'm like, well, like everybody has a move. Everybody has like ways they act around women.
Well, you were definitely branded as the fuckboy.
Yeah, 100%.
Every girl, I think, so easily can be like, I hate fuckboys, and he's one. So how has the term fuckboy affected your life?
Well, I've always been so confused by that term, because is a fuckboy just somebody who has sex, casual sex, or is a fuckboy who's somebody who dates multiple women and fucks with hearts? Because, like, listen, I do enjoy sex. I'm not going to say I don't. I do. But I'm always very honest. Like, I'm never, like, you know, trying to like lead a woman on or tell her, you know, like there's a future if there's not. Like, I'm usually very upfront. If I don't see a future, I'm like, hey, if you want to keep having casual sex, fine. But like, yeah. So, and with Kaylin and Christina, I did that with both of them. In fact, everybody's like, so did you tell them that? I'm like, no, they made sure I knew that it was just casual sex. Like, it wasn't like I didn't tell them. They
also
made sure
going
I knew.
A dating show.
Yeah.
A dating show.
I know. That's what cracks me up about like people getting angry. It's like, it's literally the point of the show.
You were in like the fucking height of the storm. I remember everything was just like blake, 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 blake. And some people in their life would dream to have like tons of headlines. And like, even you probably at moments were like, oh, I wish I was more like relevant or people talking about me like that person. How did it feel to be in the eye of the hurricane? Actually, in your mental health?
Yeah, it was not all it's hyped up to be. I'm not going to lie. And I think it was because mostly, so you have like the media and how they portray things, especially, you know, how they portray things through ABC and everything. And then you have Instagram too. Like, it's almost separate. Like, on Instagram, I was actually getting a decent amount of like good like stuff. Like, a lot of people were standing up for me being like she, you know, like she lied, like it's proof, you know, and he had to prove that, you know, like he was completely silenced. He had nothing, like there was no way he could have gotten his story out, blah, 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 blah. But then the media headline, you know how those clickbait headlines work. The clickbait headlines hurt. They hurt a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Someone just posted an article that I'm afraid my boyfriend's going to die soon.
What?
No, because they were like, you're dating a 45-year-old. And I go, I know, I'm afraid he's going to die every day. As a joke.
They will take anything and run with
but
it.
But also, did you ever want to take, what made you decide, I need to fucking post this? Like, the hate must have gotten pretty intense.
So the hate was really, the Me Too movement was coming at me. I was getting death threats. It was like, it was beyond, like it was, I had shit left at my door. Like, it was beyond. Yeah, yeah. Because
so
like,
you had evidence on your phone and you were like, I need to let people
and
know.
Yeah. It was like, I put my phone down for the, so, you know, Paradise runs like Monday, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I saw that first two episodes early. I got them on like Saturday. And I'm like, no fuck. Like, when I saw what they were doing to me and the editing and the splicing and the frame binding, I was like, no fucking way. Like, they literally, I think sometimes people forget the things that were said. Like, I looked like a sexual predator who plays ghosts and silences women. Like, that was my edit. And I was like, nope, I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. I was like, I am not going to play this. Like, you cannot do this to me. I was like, if it was just a fuckboy, fine. Like, whatever. People want to think of me as a fuckboy, fine. But I'm not this monster who silences, has sex with him and then silences him. Because everybody think that basically they made it seem like I threatened her to not tell anybody, you know, it was just too far. And I didn't even think the show knows they went too far. Like, I remember talking to people before it was airing. And when I started to hear the things Kaylin was saying, she never said any of that to me. And I was like, would you think they'll air that? And everybody was like, no way they would air that. That'd be so messed up. And then not, sure enough, it was like worse than I could have imagined, you know?
And it's a hard position when like, it's enough to defend yourself for something that actually happened, but you're finding yourself having to defend yourself for something that didn't even fucking happen, but people really believe happened because it's on their TV, and I get it, bro.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I guess you would get it more than most.
I fucking get it so much, but it comes to a point where you go, am I defensive if I try to run around being like, wait, this is not what happened, this is what happened, or do you try to just be like, okay, people are gonna hate me for this thing that is perceived in a different way, and I just have to live off of that. Like, where is your mindset?
Yeah, and it was the whole Stagecoach thing like that. The you know, it's like it's a I had
great promo for
festival.
Stagecoach.
Yeah, they got millions in free advertising. Insane. And the reason I like Stagecoach so much is because ABC went to Stagecoach and was like, so like, could we have like a, you know, could we get money for that? And Stagecoach was like, fuck off. And I was like, I love you, Stagecoach. I was like, just
you
take
better
that
get
free
Stagecoach tickets for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I had like good. Artist Pass this year, the last 2 years. Yeah, I was going to be hanging on. But it was going to be
you
incredible.
Now are the CEO of Stagecoach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, they ate it up. They were posting it. They were commenting on every photo I posted Stagecoach was. It was
I fucking love that.
Yeah, it was brilliant. But the whole Stagecoach thing, like, whatever. Like, yeah, like, was it disrespectful to the two women? Sure. But it's not like it was, like, again, it wasn't like I was dating one of them or both of mm-hmm. them. And it wasn't like it was, like, a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And then, you know, like, it was, like, a music festival in the middle of the summer. And, like, yeah. Yes, there was alcohol involved. Like, yes, there's no excuse, really. Listen, okay, it happens. Mm-hmm. Do I regret it? Yes. But that is something that, yeah, I can own. Like you said, you can own certain things. And
do you think twice before you get your dick wet now?
Oh, God, you have no idea. I have full on panic attacks. Like, I'm like, you still want to have sex with me? I'm having a panic attack. Like, yeah, I just.
Do you have PTSD when it comes to like hooking up with random girls now?
Yeah. You get to a point to where it's like either. Well, I definitely ran the rando thing. I don't do. Yeah. That's like something I'm terrified of, but even sex with like, you know, people I know or people I'm into, I still like, it still scares me because I'm like, especially what's going on right now with like TikToks and people are like outing people for TikTok. They're like getting going viral on TikTok. Did you see that thing with like JPJ? Did you see that?
Oh no. I like JPJ.
This girl like did a full on like 6 minute TikTok or however many TikToks that is.
Yeah.
About like him DMing her and then her going to his hotel, shaving herself and then like having sex with him. Yeah. And then she goes viral and she
JPJ
gets
JPJ was
followers.
Actually on this podcast and he's hilarious and funny and a sweetheart and smart.
I love JPJ. He's the man. And I just feel so bad for him and like other people that it happens to.
Well,
so
what's also hard is when you are the like target or when people are trying to like take you down, there's no repercussions for them.
Now, if anything, it's the opposite. It's like
it's the opposite. So like if people can say whatever they want, twist anything they want, and then if it's disproven or wrong, they just go about their life, and then you're there, go on Google, and people see that shit.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't want it to be like, oh, poor me, because like I get it, like, you know, like yes, I have 100%. A lot of women in my DMs and stuff, but 100%. it is a lot harder now to date. And then honestly, like I was kind of dating somebody recently. Mm-hmm. And they were actually, it's funny because it kind of happened on the podcast we did together. But like, I don't go on podcasts anymore, even if I'm like, you know, low key dating somebody and say like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm dating somebody, because that complicates everything. Because people start to write articles about it. People try to figure out who it is, and it puts a lot of unwanted pressure. So in the last few podcasts, I didn't, you know, I was like, no, like I'm single, and it like she got angry, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm trying to explain it. It's just a difficult.
You're living a public life now, so when people get involved with it, like they're almost there has to be those talks of like what you can say, what you cannot say. I mean, I'm in comedy, so like I'm always thinking the first funniest thing to say, and the next thing I know, I like a guy's mad at me because I made fun of his apartment and he blocks me for like 10 years. But that's
we digress.
Yeah, we digress. I'm over it. It was a fucking gross apartment, but it's okay. There was a train over it. The train would go over it. We had to put the volume up on the TV to even watch. But anyway, I digress. Do you feel like your like taste in women has changed since like now that you're like famous? Do you like think of love differently, or do you treat relationships differently? There was like 10 questions in that one question, but I was saying random words to see what you would get excited about.
I don't know if I necessarily see love differently, honestly. I'm one of those people who, and it hurt, like it's not necessarily a good thing, but I'm one of those people who like tries to love like he's never had a broken heart, and that means that like I still can like learn from past mistakes and past relationships. But I know it sounds like a cheesy country song. It is a cheesy.
Did you
country
always
song.
Talk in Hallmark quotes, or was it after The Bachelor? Was it before? Yes. No, but like, did The Bachelor change it for
kind
you?
Kind of, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, because like most dudes are not that good with the smooth lines like that.
I've had years of practice, Hannah. I've had years of practice.
Like most guys cannot even like understand if they're like hungry or not. Like,
oh, that's great. Oh yeah, I do talk in like fucking Hallmark quotes. That's pretty great. That's why I make good TV. Okay, that's why I make good TV. But yeah, I do. Like I love like I've never had a broken heart. Like, and it hurts just as much every time I get a broken heart. But then that one time it does end up working. Like it's gonna be that much better, you know. And I'll be like, I don't hold back. Unfortunately, I don't hold back in love. That's
well, also, that's where they get you with the editing, because if you don't hold back and you give them everything, then they have so much to work with, and it's just it's
and I'm
beautiful
super trusting
apart.
Like I'm super easy, I'm very easy manipulated. Like I want to trust everybody, even like I'm not even talking producers, like I'm talking people in my regular life, and my friends are like, you're an idiot, like he's fucked over, like, you know, it's just like that guy's, you know, like stolen from, I'm just like,
they give you one compliment and you're like, that guy's fucking great.
Like, are we best friends? Do we just become
he said I was cool and I lent him $100,000. Like, we're good.
Exactly, I'm that guy who gave money to the fucking prince in Nicaragua or whatever. Like, I'm that, you know, that email chain. Like, I'm fucking.
Oh my God. Wait, so how has, like, your growing up affected, like, your relationship with love? Like, do you have a love story in your head based on, like, your parents, or how's that affect the modern day?
Yeah, so wow, I feel like I'm on The Bachelorette, because I feel like a lot of these questions are like what they ask in the ITMs. No, so my parents had they were divorced when I was 16 15 16, and they married super young, had me super young, like 21 22, high school sweethearts. Wow. But I, so that was, you know, obviously romantic, but then I also saw, like, they weren't happy together. They were together for the kids for a very, very long time. And I saw them put in the work and try, you know, and do everything they could, but they eventually couldn't. So in a weird way, I don't know if, like, I don't know why I'm really romantic. I don't know why that is, but I almost saw that, like, love takes work, you know? And like, I saw my parents give everything they had. They try, they go off, they go on, they go off, they go on, they give everything they had. So in that way, I guess I look at work as, or as love, is more of, like, honestly, like, I'm a romantic, but I also know that, like, it does take work, and I've seen the work put in, and it's still not work, you know? So you'd think I'd almost, like, be scared of love.
Yeah, there's a thin line between, like, is this too much work? Because people are always like, you gotta work and never give up. But then at some point, it's like, is the universe telling me to run, and I'm just ignoring it, and just like a mosquito hitting the light? I don't know. You knew what I was trying to say. It's hard, because then some people go, it should be easy. But then some people, like, these Hallmark quotes, they're all over the place. They have too many people writing it that disagree with each other. Also, what was your career when you first got on The Bachelor?
I was selling beer. I was working for Coors. So I was a sales rep for beer rep.
Oh, you were a sales rep. I remember seeing you in sales and being like, okay, this guy's clearly, like, very personable and charming and tall. So you have to watch out for him.
100%.
He's dangerous. Like, and, like, physically, I think, like, you have your, like, cool hairdo too. And I was like, I don't know that. Like, you can't trust a guy whose hair doesn't move in that position.
That's so
but
true.
I do remember you had, like, a contagious laugh. So I'm giving you all my, like, judgments. Yeah. Initially,
I feel like
watching,
some of these are low-key compliments, so I'll take them. Like, a little backhanded compliment, so I'll take them.
Take it however you want. We're on a journey together. I told you that. You're in hell. This is part of hell. What were your career aspirations at the time? Like, what was bringing you joy? Where did you see yourself in the future?
In a weird way, that's exactly why I went on the show, because I was treading water. Like, I felt like I liked my job. I didn't love it. I was getting my MBA. But I was just like, I don't know. I felt stuck, and I felt just like treading water. There was nowhere for me to go. Like, I had, of course, within my company, like, places I wanted to go, but none of them were, like, super attractive to me. So I was like, you know what? Like, let's give this whole reality television thing a shot. Like, let's just go on The Bachelorette, see what happens. And my mom and sister nominated me. And I told them, I was like, go ahead. They've been wanting for years. And I was like, do it. And then, yeah, and honestly, the next thing I knew, like, yeah, I was on the show, and my life's obviously never been the same. 3 years ago.
And how do you feel about, like, you've seen Live by the Sword, Die by the Sword? Like, you've seen the perks of fame, but you've also seen, like, having everyone in America hate you. And I'm not going to call you the villain, because you weren't. They were trying to make it, but, like, I don't think it really stuck. Yeah. How do you feel about fame now after experiencing both sides of it?
Yeah, so you're exactly right. I've seen, like, the top of the mountain. I've seen the fucking bottom of it, you know, valley. Like, I've seen, and everything in between, honestly, like, I've seen it all. God, I still say, when people ask me, like, would you do it again? Like, I probably would. I would. Like, there's still more pros than cons. There's a lot of cons out there, and there's a lot of things, you know, that I'm like, I always say when people ask, like, I'm fucked up. Like, I'm in therapy. Like, we're all fucked up. Like, anybody who goes on a reality television show is fucked up, you know? Yeah. But in a weird way,
they don't want people to go on who aren't making mistakes. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not fun to watch people have, like, perfectly healthy relationships. Yeah.
Nobody wants
to
watch
how
that.
Is this going to be a dumpster fire? Let's see what they decide to do.
So, like, I don't know. I look at fame now as, I feel bad for a lot of people. Like, I guess I like have a lot of empathy towards people in the spotlight and in the public eye. But again, like, I've had incredible relationships. I've built incredible relationships, friendships, opportunities I never thought that I'd be able to do. I've met people, man, some of my heroes growing up. So I would do it again. And in a weird way, it's kind of been a blessing, this whole Paradise thing, because a lot of people from these new seasons have reached out because they're like, help. Like, I'm getting the Villa edit, or like, what do I do now? You know, it's like one of those things. So I've been able to be like this wise old man, you know, in Bachelor Nation.
But what? Help. I need help. What do you do?
I'm like, well, good luck. You know, ABC kind of, they're getting better. I will give ABC credit. They're getting better, but it really is like a sink or swim thing. They like chew you up, spit you out. And it's like sink or swim. You know, they don't really give you much unless you're in the first, you know, two, three, four people, you know, or the final few. Mm-hmm. They kind of do just like, kind of like figure it out as you go, you know, kind of thing. Like, you're under contract, obviously, but like people are out there, you know, people are out there trying to take advantage of you, people are out there using you. And it's just like, so I get a lot of those questions. Like, I'll hop on a call, you know, they'll DM me, I'll hop on a call and they'll be like, who do I talk to? What do I do appearances right now? Do I blah, 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 blah? Do I, you know, and like those kinds of things. So I'm able to help those people. Like, how do I deal with the hate?
Do I have to move to Alaska and just raise a salmon farm? Yeah. What do you tell them? How do you deal with the hate?
Ask I always say, like, if you believe all the good things, if you believe all the compliments, you believe all the fucking hype and all the, you know, heart emojis on your posts, then you have to believe all the bad stuff. I'm like, just don't believe any of it. Like, it's easier said than done, of course, but like, try not to get too hyped up, because if you believe the good, you have to believe the bad. Like, that's just how it works. And
you fucking nailed it, because someone said that too. They were like, they're both extremes, that like, you're not the greatest fucking coolest person in the world, and you're not the most evil bitch that ever walked this planet. So let's just like calm it the fuck down. But like, if you ride the highs, you gotta ride the lows.
That's a good way to put it. That's why I always
that's
say
like a Colorado reference. That was,
303. So like, I always say, like, when every season starts now, I would say, like, you fucking psycho trolls out there, and like all you crazy fans out there, like, just remember, like, your king, your queen, the person you love the most, is not nearly as good as you think. And then the villain, the person you hate the most, is not nearly as bad as you think. Like, everybody is somewhere in between, just like you, you know?
Someone like, for example, Nick Viall, where you can like hate him so fucking much, and then suddenly they're making you like him, and you're like, you guys have been fucking with me all along, you sickos. You sick sickos. But then they also, like, we're entertainment. Mm-hmm. And like, I love that you speak openly, because you could have literally been like, fuck this, I'm pissed at my mom, my sister for getting me into this, and I have hate towards everyone, and I'm out of this game. But like, you've stayed in the limelight. I think that's why I'm asking these questions, because I think you've handled it really well. Have you been able to like release anger towards it, or do you still have any anger towards like feeling wronged in any way?
Yeah, that's a good. So for a long time I was angry. Like, I was really angry at everybody, and it was so bad there for a little while, like right after Paradise, you know, like those first, especially when it first finished airing, for probably a good like 4 months, like I was just unhappy, I was angry, I was frustrated, I was lashing out at people I love. Like, I could just feel it, and I knew I was doing it, but I couldn't stop, you know. But I think over time, like, you know, in therapy, and just, I guess, just kind of I stepped away for a minute. Just in the fact of like, I wasn't trying to like do, because I went on Caitlin Bristow's live podcast tour, and it was really good for me to get back out there and like see that, hey, not everybody does hate me. You know, it was like, that was a cool feeling. But also, it was still hard for me, because I found myself, like lashing out and stuff. And I think therapy, and then eventually, like, I did forgive. I still, every once in a while, like, I, you know, you, your mind wanders, you get a little angry again.
I mean, I'm Sicilian. I forgive, but I don't forget.
You're very angry. So
you'll be swimming with the fishes next thing you know.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I still get angry every once in a while, but for the most part, I've forgiven. But I haven't necessarily forgot. Like, obviously, like, I know who to trust and who not trust. I keep receipts. That's what I say. I keep receipts. Like, I know who fucking talks shit on me when I was at my
lowest.
Yeah,
that was some Bravo shit. Like, you had the fucking receipts. Oh, yeah. That's like some reunion stuff we joke about. And I kind of appreciate, I think when you did it, I kind of appreciate it, because I was like, we're all just having so much fun projecting our issues on guys who have hurt us on this poor guy, Blake. When Blake's like, wait a second, like, I have a story too.
Well, yeah. And a lot of people were. At first, they were like, don't do it, don't do it, it's never a good look. And then they read them and they were like, whoa, like, you probably did have to release those. Like,
it's such a thin line though, because you don't want to look like you're just being a dick, or like, and it could make things worse. Yeah. And you're just deeper in it when you're trying to get out of it. Do you think that, like, it's hard because being a fuck boy is something that women have used to just kind of give guys,
it's so generalized now and so broad.
It's so general. But I guess at some point it was just like a guy who was like fucking with women to get what they want.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Do you have any advice for all the girls listening, since we have a lot of girl listeners, on kind of like putting yourself out there, finding love, finding a guy, and knowing that like it's worth pursuing?
Yeah, so I think I wish I had the right
that
answer
actually,
here because
that actually
I could help.
Wasn't a real question. I just let them give me the toughest questions. I'm like, what is life?
So one thing that was incredibly frustrating for me, and I'm sure every woman's heard this, I sat there at the reunion. I sat there on the stage and people were literally mad at me. They were like, listen, yes, Kaylin, why? Like, she wasn't being honest with you about how she felt about you, but you should have known that she was lying. Like, that's what I was getting. It was like all women lie and try to act cool. And I was literally sitting there on the stage like, wait, like, I'm the bad guy for believing the woman, not the fact that she was lying about how she felt about me. It was so confusing.
And you start to feel crazy because everyone is like, yeah, hello, mind read, you
yes,
bitch.
I literally was like, wait, I should
read. I'm the worst. I'm evil. I forgot to take that mind reading class in college. Fuck. What was I
so
doing?
Confusing.
Drinking again?
I literally was just confused about how I should like act. Like, if I should, I believe. Like, are you telling me I shouldn't believe?
Then you start
women?
Feeling like the villain. Like, you start walking around
like,
I'm a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, shit, I guess I should just like... Like, if a woman says she's not into me, she is into me. Like, is that what you're saying? Like, no means yes, and yes means no? Like, what is happening? Like,
and then you're in dangerous, dangerous waters.
So I got to the point where they were like, you should have known she was just playing the cool girl. I'm like, why should I have known that? You know, so my honest, like, stop trying to play the cool girl. Like, just be fucking honest. And if the guy walks away because he's scared of your vulnerability and he's scared how honest you are, then he's not your guy. But just for me, I would love if a woman just comes up to me and is like, after, not right away, but like after, like, let's say, you know, a few dates and everything, she's like, fuck, I'm into you. Like, I want to date you. And if I'm like, eh, then I'm not the guy for you. But if I'm like, you know what? I like it too. Like, let's fucking do it.
That was such an amazing answer, because I literally set you up to fail with that question, because the question wasn't a real question. You guys need to listen to Behind the Rose. By Blake and Eric Bradley. It's an amazing podcast, especially if you love the Bachelor stuff. But that was such a great answer because, yeah, the guy I'm with now, he straight up is just like, yeah, I'm really into you. And he was so attractive to the point that, like, I had walls up. I love to play games. I'm a messy bitch. But to the point that I felt like, okay, I could release some of my armor and I could, like, actually be myself with him and see. Nothing can go anywhere when you're in the game playing.
Yes.
Like, there's no intimacy in game playing. I could game play with a fucking wall. And you'd be like, I'm talking to someone. It's a wall. You went to Home Depot. Like, stop. Do you feel like you've been more honest in dating moving on?
Yeah, I scare
especially
because
you're
out
used
of
to
them.
Having.
I just scare them. I'm like, hey, I fucking like you. Like, let's date. And they're like, whoa, 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 slow down, Blake. Slow down. I'm like,
you go up to some girl and you go, can I talk to you for a second?
Like, I'm that girl now. Like, I'm the clingy girl now in relationships, 100%. It's fucking horrible. Like, I move too fast.
What is your signs? What's your signs that you know? Like, oh, I want to pursue this. What are the signs that you look for? Whether it's within your own feelings or like what you see from them.
It's okay, yeah. So good question. So in my own, like, if I know, if I feel like, if I'm comfortable being vulnerable with her and I'm comfortable talking about certain things I necessarily wouldn't, and it's not all like this bullshit small talk and everything. And I'm to that point in my life where like I'm comfortable talking about that, like 20-year-old me or 25-year-old me, maybe not. So I'm to a point in my life where like I know the things I want to be able to talk about my spouse with and be uncomfortable with and like have those uncomfortable conversations, vulnerable conversations. So when a woman does it to me, it's like game over. Like, I'm like, oh my God, this woman feels comfortable enough to me to be vulnerable and open. And I'm like, uh oh. And then I start opening up, and mm-hmm. it's just like this, like, you know, floodgates open. And then I'm mm-hmm. fucked. Then I'm like, oh, I'm into this girl. She's going to kill me. She's going to hurt me.
She's going to hurt me or kill me. Yeah, either one. Or the other. So, regardless,
yeah, it's just the vulnerability for me is just incredibly attractive. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think there's something about being vulnerable that you can do in a very confident way. Like, instead of it being weird and being like, I never do this, and I'm just opening up, just be like, this is me.
Yeah. Take it or leave it.
And it doesn't have to be creepy or like awkward. You can open. And if it is hard for you, like, you can say that, but you don't have to make it like it's this big thing. Like, I mean, the way I flirt is pretty matter of fact, I think. I'd be like,
I get that about you. I feel like you're very matter of fact.
To the point that the guy like doesn't take me seriously. Like, I'll be like, yeah, I'm obsessed with you. You're going to be my husband in like in 2 years. And then I just joke about it. And then you joke enough about it that it becomes, most jokes are true. Let's be honest. 100%. But I love how like you seem like the kind of guy that someone could want to play games with, you because you're like, you probably talk to so many girls and I have to be hard to get or whatever. Yes. So girls definitely say that to you. I'm just thinking,
it's the fucking worst. I think this is what happens. So they think, oh my God, I'm going to get so like passionate about this. They think that I don't need any validation. You know, they think that I don't need, because I'm getting my validation in my DMs, I'm getting it in my comments, mm-hmm. but it's the opposite. I need more mm-hmm. authentic validation than probably the normal guy you see. Because
you're so right.
Yeah, because like they just think that like
you want to be seen. Yes, like you want someone to see you and understand you authentically.
Like these heart eye emojis on my comment section, they think it does a lot for me, but it really doesn't. So they aren't giving me heart eye emojis, or they aren't giving me compliments because they think I'm getting it from somewhere else. It's like, no, I want authentic validation, you know?
This makes me laugh because the first podcast we went on, actually only one we went on, I asked you what your love language was and you immediately answered. And I'm like, oh my God, he's such a bachelor dude that he even knows what a love language is. Yeah. It's like, what's your rising sun? So what is your love language again?
So it's 1 and 2. And I feel like they've changed a little bit. But right now, I still think it's quality of time and physical touch.
Yeah, because I'm the kind of person, a guy saying I'm hot and he wants to have sex with me does nothing. Like, I feel nothing. But a guy just being like, I can't get off the phone. Oh my God, that's what I live for. Just being like, I could literally fart into this phone and he's like, yes, I'm so into it. But it sounds like if you're being your vulnerable self, then you actually can connect to people. Because like, you can like, I feel like you can convince any girl to like you with your status and like with your height. And so you really have to put yourself out there to even have a chance to meet someone who likes you for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And like you said, like, I'll go on a date and this woman will be like, bring up like a story I made like, you know, 3 weeks ago, you know, on my Instagram. And it's like kind of that weird moment where she realized she did it. And then I realized she did it. So it's like these people think, you know, a lot of times, a lot of the women think they know me and who I am. And mm-hmm. they don't. You don't. Not from a television mm-hmm. show, you know, like you don't.
And also one more thing about being vulnerable. You can be vulnerable and people won't like you. And that's actually just great because you're showing your true colors and they're seeing their true colors. And you can know immediately if it's real. Because like if you fake that you're like this cool girl for too long, it's just a waste.
It backfires. Oh, it backfires immensely. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, like, oh, so I only have text this girl like once a week. Like, is that how this works? So it's so you're right. Like, it's good for everybody involved. You know, just
Yeah, and you learn about yourself. Also, sometimes like you'll realize like, wait, this person is way better as a friend, and I'm so glad I didn't put his dick in me. You don't think that way, but I mean, who knows? But I do think that I want to know. You are like, you look at you, and it's like, yeah, that guy was on The Bachelor. What are you insecure about emotionally and physically? What do you hate about yourself? So,
that's great. You know, that's a good question. So I have insecurity. Everybody has insecurities, obviously. Insecure. I'll be honest. Like, I'm a pretty confident guy. Like, obviously, like, I have like weird insecurities. Like, I think I have a small head. Like, I have a fucking small head.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I have a small head. Like, that's why when everybody makes fun of me because my hat rests on my head, I'm like, no, because I have to. It's like if you have a piece of paper and you kind of fold it up because it's small. Like, it's not because I like wearing my head hat like this. It's because my head's small.
That is so funny. Like, the little things you do because of your stupid insecurities that no one else sees, and people are like, why is this dude wearing his hat like that? And you're like, it makes sense for, you don't get it. It's like, I always wear high-waisted pants. Like, I'll wear it all the way up to my fucking boobs. because I have little nubby legs, but people don't know that. But it looks like I have these long, crazy legs. What about emotionally? What are you insecure about, like, with your personality? Or
this definitely came, honestly, like, this is probably an insecurity built from the show or created from the show, is I fucking cry. I'm not afraid. You know, I do. I tear up.
Oh, wait, I do. I love that about you.
And I do. And some, but it's also this weird thing where, like, a lot of people like that. But, like, yeah, I fucking, like, I do. I tear up. I'm a very sentimental person. So, like weird sentimental things will get me all choked up. And, like, I do, yeah, it's just something I do.
What's, like, a quality about yourself you don't like?
I love myself. No, I guess a quality. It's okay. Sometimes I don't know how to say this, because sometimes, like, I kind of can act like, okay, I got it. Especially in relationships, I got it. Because we were just talking about this the other day. If a girl isn't giving me enough, the validation that I need, I push harder now. Like, I go harder, and that just makes it harder for me. Like, if I sense a woman pulling away in a sense, I'm like, or, you know, I can feel like, oh, I go harder, and I make, like, cuter dates, and I like try even harder, and that just makes the heartbreak even worse, you know? So I think that's something I wish I could change.
Where instead you need to, like, listen to that gut and be like, because forcing it just doesn't fucking work.
And I've forced it in the last two relationships I've been on. I could feel it, but I forced it so hard for, like, a month, and then it hurt that much worse.
Not to psychoanalyze you, but that comes from, like, growing up and seeing, like, the work you have to put in. Mm-hmm. Like, that it's like, keep trying. And you do have to keep trying, but it comes to a point where your gut is like, this isn't the kind of work that I want to do in a relationship.
And then also, unfortunately, I think sometimes when that happens, you can't necessarily be friends with that ex anymore, because, like, if you would have just called it when you felt it, you could maybe be friends. But if you push, you try, it hurts that much more, and it kind of, like, I don't know, you're jaded to that person, you know?
There's a classic, like, Dane Cook joke where it's like, I could end this relationship now, or I can wait 5 years and end it violently.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's like, I can't break up with him. My CDs are in his car. Like, I just can't right now. do you deal with anxiety at all?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't have, like, this crazy, like, so I had really bad anxiety, obviously, during Paradise and stuff. Like, I had my first panic attack ever, to the point where I was, like, breathing in a paper bag, like, almost naked on the deck trying to, like.
When you were filming?
No, when I released I released the text messages. I was at my mom's house. I was yelling at her to call an ambulance. I was, like, laying on her deck in the mountains, breathing into a paper bag. Like, it was horrible, horrible. Mm-hmm. I don't get those, thank God, because, like, I know people who have, like, perpetual, like, panic attacks, and bravest, strongest people in the world. Like, I can't. And obviously, I went through really bad depression too. Didn't get out of bed for 2 months. Like, I don't.
After Paradise.
During Paradise, yeah. Before, when it first finished filming, and then when it actually ended up finished airing, was about 2.5-3 months. And yeah, I didn't get out of bed. I couldn't. You know, I was eating horribly. Like, I could, physically was just a mess. You know, and that's not me, because I do like to stay, like, active and physically active and exercise.
You're like, I like having an APAC. That's just me.
I work real hard for that thing. So, no, I wish I had an APAC. No, so it was hard for me, because it just wasn't who I am normally. And, like I said, like, I don't have, like, chronic depression, chronic anxiety. Thankfully, I do obviously get it. We all kind of get it here and there. But those people that do, all you listeners out there do, like, you're incredibly strong. It's incredible that you can still, like, have, like, a functioning life with those, you know, anxiety. And of course, like, I do get anxiety, but I think for the most part, and maybe I do have that anxiety, but I've just seen the worst of the worst. And so, like, now I'm like, oh, this isn't
so you're
bad.
Like, you're in a very good place.
Yeah, I'm not wetting myself, you know, I'm fine. You know, like, I'm not in lost bowel control. I'm fine.
It's called, like, I notice, I feel like during reality TV, I'll catastrophize a lot, which is, like, a form of anxiety where, like, something will happen. And I'll be like, and I'm the worst.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to hate me. And I'm never going to work again. And
zero
I'm
to
done.
100 real fast. Yeah.
Especially in quarantine, where, like, you can't go out and just see a friend and be like, hey, Han, I love you. It's more like you're just stuck with your fucking cat and you're like, this is us. This is it.
Yeah.
You're doing amazing. I want to wrap up with a final game called the Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins.
Blake, what are you greedy about?
Ooh, what am I greedy about? Time. Like, I want to spend time. Like, if I'm into you, I want time. I want, like, all your time.
Do you say no with, like, work stuff? Like, in terms of time with that, are you good at deciding?
Yes. So I would much rather, like, I would say no to, like, a work thing to, like, hang out with somebody I'm into, yeah. But never the other way around.
Because, yeah, I have trouble saying no to things, and I feel like I have. But some people who are good at managing time are, yeah, I'm one of those. Who are you envious of?
Ooh, I'm envious of person so many in Bachelor Nation who can do the show, have success, and step away and be like, I don't need this. I'm envious of those kind of people. Or I don't not yeah, need this. Like, I don't, I can go back to my 9 to 5 because, like, I don't really want to do that.
And do you consider it like hard to stay in it?
Yeah. And like, I still, like I said, I become like this weird person where I'm like this wise old man. And like, I feel like I've helped a lot of people. And like, I got a DM just the other day that was like, I want to thank you so much for being open about your struggle that you went through in paradise to get saved, help me. And like, so those things I don't take for granted. Like, I'm glad I'm still speaking on it and I'm glad I'm still in this world. But at the same time, there's obviously, like you said, like there's nights where I like cry myself to sleep in the fetal position because, like, you know, so like, it's a, you got to find that balance, you know?
I have never felt more understood. What are you gluttonous about? What do you overindulge in?
Damn, I'm going to be real honest here. I think sometimes I can like overindulge in the, if I go out and the attention I get. Like, I think sometimes I was that in the past, you know. Now I'm not, you know, I'm old news a little bit. And so like, it's not the same, but yeah, when I first went out, it was like so overwhelming, but it was a good feeling. I'm not gonna sit here and act like it's not a good feeling to have women fawn over you. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and lie about that. You know, it is a good feeling to, that, you know, people think that like you're this, you know, somebody special, you know? So yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I used to overindulge in that big time.
Yeah. And but then like, you start like, what is it? Like, not drinking your own Gatorade, but
kind of though. Yeah, like drinking your own, I don't know,
you think your shit, you yeah, start to think your shit doesn't stink. And like, yeah. I really think it's important to have those people around you that are just like, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah. And that's, yeah, that's what
my
I
family's
to do.
That for me, thank God. Yeah, so, yeah.
If I remember right, I thought your family was adorable.
Yeah, they're
great. When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath or anger? Do you have like a an angry streak?
No, I don't.
You punch walls?
I don't have like an angry streak.
Have you ever punched a wall before?
Oh, yeah, I've done that a couple of times. I was really...
I was like, every frat dude has punched a wall.
Oh, I broke my hand, so let's not talk about that. Hey, and I'm not a frat dude.
I was going to say, were you in a frat?
No, I was not in a frat. Not a frat guy. No.
Where'd you go to school?
Nebraska. I went to Hastings College in Nebraska.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I played football out there. No, I used to like playing sports was when I would get like I would punch lockers and shit after, you know, halftime and stuff.
Yeah, same. I've broken so many rackets.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
In the locker room. Is, yeah. I once broke, I like went for a bathroom break and broke the bathroom door. And then like some girl was in the locker room I didn't know. And I was like, don't ask. I'm just, don't tell anyone.
You didn't see this.
I just like tried to slam it and just like fell off. And I was like, okay, I didn't know that was that strong.
I think the only way now I get angry nowadays is dishonesty. Like if somebody isn't honest with me, if they lie to me, then I get really angry. And most of the time I just like cut you out.
Samesies.
That's it.
Samesies. Yeah. I'm currently dealing with this guy I was like seeing on the reality show for a little. I just got engaged and we like got into a little on the show and now he's like starting the smear campaign that like I had a boyfriend already going into the show.
Oh,
and that like, and like it's funny because I've dealt with a lot with it and that was like the final straw when I was like, I can't deal with it. But I didn't realize it was just, it's the dishonesty that makes you feel so crazy about it. Anyway, just wanted to spill that tea. Was this last time you were a sloth? So you ever like a lazy piece of shit stay in bed all day?
Oh, yesterday, all the time. Every Sunday I don't move. I turn off my phone. I just like don't move. I literally right now I think I have a pizza box in my bed like from yesterday.
Oh yeah.
I love me that. A good lazy Sunday.
Do you live alone?
I do.
I like envisioned just like a bachelor pad of all the bachelor guys just like waiting for Stagecoach tickets to come available.
You know how many bachelor guys hit me up? Is like, can I get a pass to Stagecoach this year?
Oh my god, yeah, I can. So you guys really have a funny community because Bravo, like, we're kind of us and Vanderpump and Southern Charm are the only younger shows, and the rest are like Housewives and older shows. But you guys are all the fucking same age, just fucking each other. It's crazy.
It's
anyway,
wildly incestual. Yeah, because
it's like, welcome to the cult. When was the last time you let your pride get in the way of something? So I feel like you've probably learned a lot about ego through this time, the ups and downs.
Yeah, a lot about ego and pride. And honestly, like, I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but like, I don't have that much pride. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Gone. Like, it's been burnt out.
Like I said, if somebody's dishonest to me or whatever, like, I just cut them out of my life. Like, I don't feel a need to, like, for like revenge. I don't know. I just, it takes a lot for me to be like, super prideful. I don't know.
But reality TV is hard because you can't like cut them out of your life sometimes. You have to deal with them every day.
And I have. Like I've done podcasts with like a bunch of us together and it's somebody that I don't like, you know, I don't get along with, or they've talked mad shit about me, you know, it's super awkward.
But... Yeah. So you like take the high road? What's that
Yeah,
like?
I do.
That?
I take the high road. Like? I mean, I hate, even though I'm on reality television, I hate drama. So like, I'm the least confrontational person alive. Like I will, that's probably why I just felt, I looked like,
I was
just
so
like
scared of confrontation my first two seasons.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I like literally with like, cause you know, you're like preparing for it and it finally gets there and you have to confront someone. You're just like,
Yeah, that's how I am. I'm so bad. And then I ended up like apologizing to them for some reason. I'm like, why did I do that? Like they fucked up. Like, and that's why I think in Paradise when everything was going down, like while I was there on the beach, like I looked like a beaten puppy because like I didn't know what to say. I couldn't fight back because I was just like,
yeah,
confrontation.
But then when you don't say enough, they can really make it look however they want. But I also, I don't want to give you PTSD, but I just remember all this shit was happening and they just kept cutting back to you being like, yeah, bro. And you threw the football.
It was like all these women. I remember now. I am having PTSD.
The
Jesus.
Football. Like, how many times did you? I was like, okay, he throws a lot of football.
And all that was filmed within like an hour, you know, all those football throws. But they fucking, yeah. I'll never forget. They were like cutting to like women talking shit about me and how I'm a monster. And then me just like running.
He seems like he loves football more than any woman here. So he's leaving with the football. That's what's happening. When was the last time you lusted over someone? So do you have like a celebrity crush or a bachelorette crush or a crush in general?
God, I lust a lot. Like, I'm one of those people who like, I'll meet somebody on the week and be like, this is my wife. You know, like, I'm gonna marry this woman. I'm really bad. I'm romantic like that. I'm like, did you just see our meet cute? I made eye contact. Like, this is our meet cute. Like, this is happening.
You're already thinking how you're gonna explain to the kids. You're like, so.
I'm like fucking. You know how I met your mother? Like, I'm fucking that guy.
You're like, she looked at me, then she ignored me. I never saw her again. It was like so cute.
Like 2 years from now, when we see each other again, yeah. So it's fucking. Yeah, I'm horrible. I lust a lot, and I think that's some of my problem. Is like, can I tell the difference between lust and love? And like, yeah.
I mean, the lust I think is so fun in the beginning, but it also like you're gonna get. You get sick of it eventually where you're like, the end of this high is always bad. So like, do I even need this high right now when I know it's going to be a low soon? But it's so easy. Like, I love projecting on guys too. Like, I'd meet a guy and I would, in my head, make him all the things I want him to be. And then it would take 6 months for me to realize he's like none of those things and then be like, fuck, I wasted my time again. So yeah, my advice to people is like when dating, don't try to make them like you. Really try to figure out if you like them. And that's like hard sometimes, especially as like being a people pleaser or like,
so true though,
being human. Yeah. Oh, so my last question for you, and I've been asking you hard ones and you've been doing great, is what do you ultimately do to cope with your hell? What advice would you give to people listening when they're in their dark place?
So for me personally, obviously it's very unique for a lot of different people and everybody experiences things different. For me, when I was in my hell, I've been there. It was so for me, like physically, it was just like, honestly, the sun. Like I had this moment where I was at the lowest of the low. It was probably like sixth episode of Paradise. I was like at that point where I was like, do I still want to live? Like I was at that point. And for something in me, something clicked and I walked to the Walgreens, like it was like a couple blocks away, to get a Gatorade. And the sun saved my life. Like just the fresh air and the sun, like I don't know what, it changed me. And then the next day I walked further. And then eventually, you know, I was walking miles and running and things like exercising again. So that, and then for me, it was, I think a lot of people try and like, I don't know, band-aid the problem, you know, like band-aid that. I think you need to feel it. Like, I think you need to just like take time, feel the pain, feel where you're at, but know that you can escape this. And then that, not only that you can escape it, but because you didn't band-aid it, like you'll never probably have to get there again. Like once you've beaten that, if you didn't band-aid it and you actually like healed from it, you'll never get to that hell or that bottom again, you know? And so I think just feel it, like sit there in your room, fucking cry, fucking listen to like whatever it is, music, you know, watch whatever you have to watch, just feel it. And then once you feel it, I think it's, and then once you heal from that, you'll know that you can do it again, you know, instead of band-aiding it.
Your emotional intelligence is like very impressive. Girls, slide into the DMs. You know what to do. Like, where can people follow you, watch you, listen to you? Give me the goods.
Yeah, so I am on Instagram at balake.h. Also on Twitter. I don't really tweet, but Twitter, balake.h. And then, yeah, follow or listen to my podcast, Behind the Rose. And it's on every major streaming service and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, Blake, thank you for coming to hell. The devil had a good time. And we'll talk to you guys another time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. Bye.
Ha 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 ha!